Itamabhaga A word for word. Evam. Yes, this is right.
Yes, this is right.
Itat. What you have said. Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
O great personality. You wonder about that. Yata. As. Vatasi, you are speaking Deinam, about all living entities accepting material bodies. Ajnana Prabhava, by the influence of ignorance. Aham Driti, this is my interest. False ego. Svapara iti. This is another's interest. Binda. Differentiation. Yata. Because of such a conception of life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O great personality, Kamsa. I guess we should just, the verse before, there was a switch here, so just to follow the storyline here, this is the atrocities of King Kamsa, and he's apologized, and Devaki and Vasudev have accepted their apology, and then the verse before was when Devaki saw her brother actually repentant while explaining ordained events, she was relieved of all anger. Similarly, Vasudev was also free from anger. Smiling, he spoke to Kamsa as follows. So this is Vasudev speaking. And he says, O great personality, Kamsa. You wonder a little. Only by the influence of ignorance does one accept the material body and bodily ego. What you have said about this philosophically is correct. Persons in the bodily conception of life, lacking self-realization, differentiate in terms of this is mine and this belongs to another. So we can repeat it. O great personality, Kamsa. Only by the influence of ignorance does one accept a material body and bodily ego. What you have said about this philosophically is correct. Sorry. Persons in the bodily conception of life, lacking self-realization, differentiate in terms of this is mine, and this belongs to another. So, of course, you think of Isha Vaishya Dham Sarvam, that everything is owned and controlled by the Lord. So, but they're ignoring that part. Purport. Everything is done automatically by the laws of nature, which work under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the verse that comes to mind is it 9:10? Is it? Yes, 9. Who knows 9:10? Anybody? This divine energy is working under my direction. Yeah, that's it. Who said that? Could you say it out loud? Yeah. Thank you. All right. And then, of course, for ourselves, we know in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he starts off with never. There was a time we did not exist, nor you, nor are these kings. So he starts right off with sat, never. And now we're going to get the chit and ananda. So you have to put all three together. He had a little bit of the sat, but the chit and ananda, not so clearly. So because this is the 10th canto, it's an accumulation. We can see all the Bhagavad Gita and coming up to these points through the Bhagavatam in these parts. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, it explains it how these things are working. And in the Bhagavatam, you actually see examples. So we have an example of Kamsa. He's a good example of a demoniac mentality. What do they think? So much is mine. So here, right in there, it says that they think this is mine. And this belongs to another, but I'll figure out how to get it. So much is mine today. More will be mine tomorrow, according to my schemes. Modern capitalism. Okay. So everything is done automatically by the laws of nature, which work under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, we're still responsible, even though it's done automatically. Like in the Bhagavad Gita 3.5, it says everyone is forced to act helplessly by these modes of nature. But by the time we get to chapter 5, 8, 9, it mentions that someone who's in divine consciousness, he always knows while engaged in seeing, speaking, moving about, that just the senses are engaged with their objects and he's aloof from them. He's in divine consciousness. And then it goes through a progression for the next like four verses explaining there's a difference between you and the body. Aham Brahmasmi is one of the first things we learn. And so in the Bhagavatam, it's all about relationship. It's we're reestablishing our relationship, just like we heard yesterday in the lecture by Prabhupada that we were all in Vaikuntha, but as a disciple had asked Prabhupada, I think it was Madhavisa Maharaj, had asked about, are we always eternally with you, Srila Prabhupada? And he says, if you don't, as long as you stay on that platform, he says, just like we were in Vaikuntha, but when we had a desire to enjoy, we came to this material world. So in this reference, it's called ignoring or ignorance. So we've ignored that relationship, and now we're reviving that relationship. So Krishna, right in the beginning, right after he says, never there was a time I didn't exist, nor you, nor anybody else here. And I kind of like have a little bit of a jokey nature myself. So I think that Krishna says, but you don't have to take my word for it. You can see for yourself. You had a little body. You had another body. You had another body. So you're changing bodies all the time. So then he's pointing out that you have to learn the next, well, that verse also says, those who are sober, they can see this clearly. In the next verse, it explains that you have to learn how to tolerate. That'll make you sober. And the next verse, 15, it says that if you have learned how to tolerate, then you're ready for liberation. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, it explains how the modes of nature are working, how we can identify or not identify with them, because Om Agyanatimirandasyatina Janasalakaya Chaksum Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Srila Prabhupada, he's opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and this knowledge is how to see what is matter and what is spirit and the controller of both. So that's knowledge. And then, but knowledge, it needs to be activated. You activate knowledge by surrender. And then it becomes realized knowledge. So Prabhupada said in 6.8 purport that book knowledge without realization is useless. Well, it's still pious, but I mean, in this context, it means that you have to activate it. So the activation process, actually I have to thank everyone for having such a wonderful community, especially Savas for maintaining such a wonderful standing here for so many years. I was initiated just in the other room there in 72, and Rukmini Dwarkadish were always my first love there. You know, that's your deities. Yeah. So It's always nice when I come back and see so many familiar faces and everybody's enlivening Krishna consciousness, because, of course, we're talking about Satchidananda. So if you touch fire, you feel heat. If you touch ice, you feel cold. If you touch Krishna, Krishna Satchidananda, you feel Satchidananda. So we're learning how to touch Krishna bhakti through reestablishing our relationships. So when you're in touch with Krishna, you're also feeling Satchidananda. So then, because I'm kind of a jokester, I say, so is that feeling Satchidananda, is that you or is that him? What is that feeling of Satchidananda? Is that your feeling or is it Krishna that you're feeling? Anyway, these are some of the things that go on with me. Anybody want to say? Anybody want to? Oh, okay. Yeah. So we're learning how to be in Ananda, just like you had such nice kirtans. So the jnani, he doesn't have an engagement. He always has to be thinking about stuff. But the devotee, he just engages in service, and his mind is automatically engaged in Krishna consciousness. So it's such a blissful process. Kevala Nandakan, that's a line from a song that Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Parma Karuna. So, okay, getting back to this. All right. There's no question of doing anything independently. For one who has put himself in this material atmosphere is fully under the control of nature's laws. So in here, Prabhupada, I was thinking of 291. Maybe we could put that up on the screen. And 291, and then we go to 292 and 3. Let's see. Hey, good. Maybe somebody could read the translation to that, if we can get to it. All right. Could you read the translation to that? It's hard to turn. So if we go to 2, because he's under the influence, but he's under Krishna's, he's giving the explanation here. It's a nice purport to that one, I guess. And this will relate to the a little bit more. I used the down arrow. It's a little bit easier to control. Okay. So a little bit about this I and mine, because, of course, the I is that I am this body, and everything that's related to this body is mine. So this is the spell of the material energy, just like, that may be jumping a little bit, under the influence of the material energy, but we're still responsible. So sometimes people wonder when they say, I'm being forced, I'm being controlled, why am I getting a reaction? Why is it that if I'm being forced, how come I'm getting a reaction? So we know in the Bhagavad Gita there's five things that we're taught to see, that the living Krishna, the living entity, material nature, time, and karma. So here's an easy way to understand how... even though we're being completely controlled, we're responsible. Because a lot of times they say, why would it be that I'm responsible if I'm being controlled? So I make up a little analogy of a person gets pulled over for drunk driving. And they know each other. It's a small town. And he says, "Bill, you're not acting like yourself today." And he kind of hints over. There's an open bottle next to him in the car. And he starts talking. And he says, "Bill, it's just the alcohol talking. You're not really the one that's speaking. You're not yourself. You're not talking like yourself." And he says, "You're certainly not driving correctly. So I have to arrest you." And he says, "Why arrest me?" He says, "You're pointing out that this alcohol is the one that's talking. The alcohol, the one that's driving like this, it's all the alcohol's fault. You should arrest the alcohol." He didn't go for that for some reason or another. He said, "You've accepted this. You've put yourself under this influence, so therefore you're responsible." You know, or the gun shot somebody, arrest the gun. You know, I mean, that material energy is inert. It's so in the Bhagavad Gita it says, if you contemplate the objects. See, that's the trick. It's right in the beginning. So a lot of times we think contemplating the object of senses, one develops attachment and then lust, and then he gets anger, bewilderment of memory, and he falls again. But that happens almost simultaneously. So you have to catch it in the beginning when it says objects. So we're not to see objects. So Bhagavad Gita, where was that? 1327. I think it's 1327. Maybe we can pull up a 1327. Maybe. You're pretty quick. Down arrow works easier for me. Wasn't 13. Oh, 29. I'm sorry, 1329. Too many numbers. If we just go to 1329, maybe we'll get it. Here we go. So how are you supposed to see and not degrade yourself by seeing objects? Because they tell you one thing, but it says, so if I'm going to get contemplating objects, what can I do not to contemplate an object? So you string it together with this verse, 1329. One who sees his super soul equally present everywhere and every living being doesn't degrade himself by his mind and thus approaches the transcendental destination. So we all have to practice this. See, we're in sadhana bhakti, and sadhana bhakti means always remember Krishna. So we have shravanam, kirtanam, but then there's the next one, smaranam. And this smaranam, it goes through five stages. That's mentioned in a Nectar Instruction, text 8. But I remember one time, I was actually a brahmachari. I used to live upstairs in the other building. That's now the store there in the front they had. And back then, in 72, there was a book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So there's this one part I remembered. I actually tried to learn it back then in 1972, and I'm still working on it, but it's becoming a little bit more clear. These things take time. So this is the instructions of Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami. And in the Madhya Lila, chapter 19, it would be text 213, but he's quoting Bhagavatam 11:19:36. But the way that it says it in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya has a special flavor because Prabhupada combines purports and verses all together when he does the summary study. So there's something special with that. Srila Prabhupada, a lot of times I think that the Krishna that we know, this I call Srila Prabhupada's Radha and Krishna. The way he, just like Sukadeva makes something, a parrot makes something sweeter by its beak, by speaking. So everything that we learn from Srila Prabhupada, that's the Krishna that we're learning. Other people, they don't have the same Krishna. Just like There's a term Prabhupada had, the philosopher's Vishnu. Or if you go to do any college preaching, they'll sometimes say, oh, there's Vishnu, and then, what's it, the 10th incarnation or some 8th incarnation is Krishna. They don't have the Krishna. The Krishna that Prabhupada gave is the most lovable Krishna. It's just as soon as you hear about Krishna, you're attracted. So this... here's this one part I wanted to quote. Stability of the mind can be achieved by one who has concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of everything. Where else would it have come from? You know, I mean, it's everything is coming from Krishna. Ham sarvasya prabhavo. So everything's got a connection with Krishna. And my mind's moving quickly, so just try to tolerate. Also in the Bhagavatam, one of the nutshell verses, 2.9.34, Rite, Ritam, Napratiyata, Napratiyata, Chatmani, Tadvidya, Mayam, Yatabaso, Yatotamaha. I just took the first two words from that one, Rite, Ritam. But if you look at the word for word, it means no value. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it doesn't have a relationship to me, know it is illusion. So a reflection that appears in darkness. So this idea is brought out even more clearly in the 2.9.36, Etavad Eva Jignatvam. He says that you have to search it out up to this. So we know in the Vedic culture, human form of life began when you have an opposable thumb? No. It says it begins when Atato Brahma Jignas. One is supposed to ask, what is the nature? So this is, if you're on a quest to find the truth, so quest I on, you have a question. Quest I on, question. Okay. These little things like that. So if you're on the quest, then they have this question. So Atato Brahma Jignas, you have to find out. And everything... the sadhana on the verse, out of the nutshell verses, is Etavadeva Jignatvam, that you have to connect everything to Krishna. And then that 34 one that we just said is Rite Ritam, it has no value. Now, who can say that? Krishna is saying that. There's no value for him if you're in Maya. What is our position? We're... our constitutional position is to give pleasure to Krishna. So we've got ourselves into this jam, so to speak, the material energy. And the spiritual master comes and he opens your eyes so you can see. So what is the first thing that you see? One has to be able to see the difference between works in devotion and works for fruitive results. Okay, so this... here we're talking about the I and mine and ignorance. So you're born into over 727, is it? The living entity is born into delusion, overcome by the duality of desire and hate. So this born into delusion. Because of other preaching, I have a prison preaching. They're such a good captive audience, you know. And some of them are quite scholarly. So but they're submissive. So there's some. We have a Jew, a Muslim, a Christian, all different varieties are there. So we were noticing that in the beginning. You had the Adam and Eve story. So it was the idea that the beguiled of the serpent. So generally we say blank as a snake, envious as a snake. So you have envy that beguiles. That means it confuses you. You know, you get deluded. And then in that deluded condition, you went for the fruit. You know you're supposed to offer that apple, right? But they didn't. They took the apple without offering it, and then they got into duality, good and bad, right and wrong. So in that way, you can see that was their what they're trying to communicate. They're trying to communicate that if you get beguiled by envy, you're going to become a fruitive worker, you're going to be in duality. And then, of course, their theology is when Christ came, he said, that's not the truth. You know, he says, the truth is devotion. He says, just follow me, I'll show you. He says, so he would say that devotion is the truth, fruitive activities isn't. And that's the only way you can get out of fruitive activities. You're born because of that situation. Downline, we're all born into this bodily conception of life, thinking I and mine. So, okay, a couple tangents, huh? I didn't think I finished the purport. My goodness. Okay. So we're under the controls of nature. Oh, one more point about being under the control of nature is samatha diksha driti dira. I don't think I even finished that. Okay. So stability of the mind is achieved when one has understand Krishna is the source of everything. When one is ready to tolerate all kinds of suffering in order to keep the senses and mind steady, that is called tadiksha. Okay, so that means tolerance. But it says when one's ready, he didn't say he's doing it yet, he's ready to do it. You notice the difference? I'm ready to do it, but you haven't done it yet. So okay, then, and this is what we're learning. Ready to tolerate, that was 2.14 and 2.15. One has to learn how to tolerate this material energy. So we heard from a nice reading this morning by Zavas from the first part of the Lord Kapila's teachings, how analytically one understands. He has to understand it by categories, then he can become free from the modes of nature, Brahma Buyopakopate. He can actually become steady on this platform. So Sri Shapanishad, text 11, says one has to learn the process of nescience and that of knowledge, devotional service, side by side. If he can do that, then Ashnute. Then he can enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So a nice exercise that you can do if you like, I do these kind of things, is you make a column of synonyms for fruitive activities. Karma, that's what Krishna says, fruitive activities called karma. Another name for karma is destiny. Here we're talking about destiny. The bodily conception of life. This is your destiny. It says if you surrender to the spiritual master, he frees you from your destiny. He frees you from your karma because he gives you another thinking process. In the material world, you're forced to think according to the body you're in and the modes of nature. And Krishna explains that in 8.3 that those activities that will produce another material body are called karma. So we know the samsara. We say that almost, well, we're supposed to say that every day. First nama om, then samsara. So just that first word is a cycle of birth and death that goes. It takes place by the senses wanting to contact their objects, the mind, the whole yantra, the machine of material body is based on how you can acquire those things that your senses want. However, that produces another material body. So the spiritual master, he gives you another way of thinking, and he gives you your sadhana. So when you do what he's requiring, what he's asked you to do, those activities do not produce karma. So you're free from karma by following the orders of the spiritual master. And that is also another name for that. Restriction is a pen. If you put things in a restriction, there's like a play pen, or there's the penitentiary, you know, so there's. So when you're in that restriction, what you're doing under the orders of spiritual master, that's penance. Okay, because you're being restricted from your karmic desires. So that's sometimes difficult. We understand that the senses, if you read Bhagavad Gita 270 purport, it says, as long as one's embodied, the demands of the senses will continue. So you're still going to be getting fired from sense desires are going to be coming in like rivers into the ocean. Just like 259, it says, embodied being may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste remains. But when he gets a higher taste, then he's fixed in consciousness. So the mind's always going to be firing at least at our stage. So this tradiksha, sama tradiksha, you've concluded Krishna is the source of everything, but to deal with this mind, this is going to take some time to understand how to do. So it says if you've learned how to tolerate it. So a quick thing on that, one of the ways that you learn to tolerate it is tatenu kampam, that you still keep offering your respects to and your obeisances. Obeisances is the key word. We offer lots of obeisances because it's so important. Nama Om, very important. And actually you should build that up. When you're offering obeisances, it's not just a head tap and get up before others or something like that. It's actually redoing your vows, so to speak. Every time. So, in fact, that's enough just to put you in ecstasy. So sometime you may be off in your basins, everybody's up and doing stuff, and you're still there because you can get absorbed. This is such an important point because it's from your heart that I'm accepting you as the power of attorney for my life now. Instead of my mind telling me where to go, I'm following the orders of my spiritual master. So when you do that, your mind gets separated. 13.5 purport. Jnana Vijnana, it talks about this jnana, book knowledge, is like a map. But a map really doesn't get you any place. It tells you how to get there. You still have to drive. So when your mind wanders, this is, okay, Nastrapraeshu Adbhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata. It says that almost to nil, by regularly rendering devotional service, then almost all inauspicious things are removed. There's a little bit that's still left. But you know why? This is really nice to know. It's because that's still something you can work with. Krishna can work with you on that. It's a very important part why he leaves a little bit there. Because when that mind fires those material desires, I don't know if anybody else has that experience, but it's what it's going to do. As long as one's embodied, the demands of the senses are going to continue. So when it comes up into your mind, you have to respond to that because Krishna's listening. I give you a little something, I'm going to see what you're going to do with it. So Krishna gives us some knowledge. And let me see if you need more or if this is going to hold you for a while. So when you get this knowledge and the material desire comes, you have to think, Krishna, ordinarily I would be attracted to that, but since my spiritual master has enlightened me, I now can see that this is the modes of nature, this is karma, this is going to get another material body. I don't want that. I want to be a devotee. I want to be able to serve Krishna. So that's tadiksha driti. Now, the next word after that one was, I've lost my place. Okay. The next one was driti, which means he's able to control the tongue and sex desire. So that gets a whole category by itself, just those two. So after you've learned to control everything, those are the last two. And if you can get past those two, that means you're determined. And then you're dhira. So dhira, it says these is the basic platform to get to shantaras. Everything has this to be. When you're at shantaras, you're on the other side of birth and death. So this is another way to see that. So we have these bodies. These bodies are going to keep firing material desires. If you keep your intelligence clear, because Krishna. Do you remember there's an example Prabhupada said, fly your own plane? Anybody remember fly your own plane? So when you're flying your own plane, nobody can do it for you. You have to do it yourself. But there's a radio. They can send you messages and you can hear, if you can hear, that's 1344, how to hear, you have to follow regulative principles. So Prabhupada explains in that purport of 1344 how to properly hear the Bhagavatam. So that hearing is the radio in the fly your own plane is your intelligence. You have to keep your intelligence on. So Krishna says how you it is this intelligence will give you the perspective. Also 10:10 for those who are constantly devoted who give you the intelligence. He says, how do you lose your intelligence? Anybody know how to lose intelligence? Well, first of all, how do you find it? He says, if you can withdraw your senses from the objects, this is the I and mine, if you can withdraw from the objects for a minute, they're not objects, they belong to me, just like 434, you have to accept a spiritual master. And then the next verse, he says, then you'll know the truth, if you want to know the truth. So what's the truth? All beings are in me and are mine. So they belong to somebody. They belong to Krishna. Everybody belongs to Krishna. So an example, kind of reaching a little bit. Sometimes men are attracted to women, and they may go over and say something, and if they look and they see they have a wedding band on, if there's some morality in the person, he goes the other way. He understands this person is already with someone. So we can see everybody is already with Krishna. That's the truth. And he says, if you've got that knowledge, then even if you're the most sinful person, you'll be all right. You can cross over the ocean of material existence. And he said, there's nothing so sublime and pure. So that's also seeing the super soul so you don't degrade yourself by the mind. If you don't practice that, because we're at the practice stage, sadhana means shravanam kirtam vishnu smarnam. So the smarnam is where you have to internalize the instructions that you've heard. So wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering, unsteady nature, you have to know the verses to overcome that. You have to know the situation. If someone gives you a map, is it any good? What's the first thing you're going to do if you look on a map? There's a couple things you need to know to use a map, right? First point, where you are, and then where you want to go. So if you see where you are, we're just above the animal species, you know, and the human form, we offer our obeisances. You have to really take each one of those words, nama, not me, nama, nama, not me. So then what is it? Om. Okay. So just a real short om point. Om, a lot of times people talk about the light. So light means discrimination. Discrimination means being able to tell what's fruit of activities and what's binding and what's liberating. That's our knowledge. So we are able to see these two columns. What is fruit, the process of nescience, and that of knowledge side by side. So add one more column. What can we add to those two columns? I give a hint. Nobody generally gets without a hint. But, okay, the fruit of activities, let's call that the external potency. Anybody got it yet? Okay, let's call devotional service the internal potency. What do you have between the external potency and the internal potency? The marginal potency. That's where we come in. Okay, Tatashta Shakti. That's kind of a pun, you know, that's where we come in to touch. Anyway, so this is, you have these three columns. You have the process of ignorance, that transcendental knowledge, and us in the middle. So if, since it's three, you can think, what Sanskrit letter, symbol, looks just like a three with a smiley face? You have your Om. So when you say Nama Om, this is the light, that this is your independence. This is who we are. This is the Vedic knowledge. Everything is contained in Om. And where is it? Can you find it one place or other place? It's all pervading. This is our realization, is there's who we are. We're marginal potency. We get the choice, always the choice. So when the thought comes into your mind, we're at war with Maya. She doesn't sleep. So anytime that thought comes in, what an opportunity to remember why you're a devotee. And as soon as you do that, you're constantly devoted. Krishna gives you intelligence. So I think it's probably the time is I can get going afterwards. Oh, let me just finish. Sorry. Okay. No question doing anything independently. One has put himself under the material atmosphere, drunk driving. Our main business, therefore, should be to get out of the conditioned life and again become situated in spiritual existence. This only due to ignorance does a person think, I am a demigod, I am a human being, I am a dog. Prabhupada always says, I am a cat. Or when ignorance is still further advanced, I am God. Unless one is fully self-realized, one's life of ignorance will continue. So that's karma again. So we just, if you make a column and think of all the synonyms for karma, fruitive activities, bodily conception of life, temporary, miserable, birth and death, just make a list of all those things, and then you have your list. You can also go from the other side, make in devotional service, Jivera Srupoi Krishna Das, I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. And then see your choice. Then every time you offer obeisances, Nama, Om, every time you say Om, it gets trained. So you just see the whole, you're who you are. And then you can see it's only because you accepted this spell, this ignorance of identifying with this body, does the material energy have any strength over us. You can fight that strength with Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna supplies you. Prabhupada, when the iPhones came out, they had a thing called that there's an app for that. Anything you could think of, there's an app for. So I modify things a little bit. I say there's a verse for that. Whatever your mind comes up with, there's a verse for counteracting that. And all you need is surrender to activate it. So that you come up. And knowledge, is how to surrender. Because if you have knowledge and you don't surrender, the result of your knowledge has been taken away by illusion. And what group is that? That's what a 715 or 16. Four kinds don't surrender. The one who's Maya Aprajnana. So their Maya has been, their knowledge was stolen. So what is that knowledge? And knowledge is how to see this fruit of activities, devotional service, your choice, not do an I in mind, know how to reject it so you're not ignoring Krishna. And he turns around. Because right now, we're at the backside of Krishna. The backside is the fruit of activity. When 176, Vyasadeva's realization. So anyway, any questions or comments? Thank you very much for tolerating my jackrabbit type class. I hope it was fun. Thank you. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about the verse about one who says knowledge and meshing side by side.
Sri Japanishad, chapter number 11.
Yeah, I haven't used it before in a while, but can some.
How do you not misinterpret that as saying, well, okay, then, since I have to study nescience and.
No, it doesn't say nescience, it says process of nescience.
Process of.
It doesn't say go into nescience and look around.
Yeah.
We've already done that.
That's what my question was.
You understand its process. So what's the process of nescience? Give me a quick example. I already quoted once.
Serving your senses.
Okay. All you have to do is look at something. Any one of the senses is the sense objects. Is that 260 or 262? Any one of the senses that the mind focuses on can carry away a man's intelligence, even of discrimination. Mm-hmm. So someone may be able to discriminate, but that's not going to save him. See, just being able to tell, and then, you know, who always gets picked on those is Vishwamrita Muni. You know, he was a great, great yogi, but he noticed, was he the one with the fish, or there's a couple.
Shobri.
There's a couple of different ones. So I call it the 2-second rule. That's the way I look at it. 2 seconds. You can't help the first second. You're forced. Your mind looks and sees something. So, okay, you couldn't help that. But the next 2 seconds, you got to make a choice. That's your choice. So those 2 seconds, your intelligence comes out, analyzes it according to your bhakti now that you have, and says, this is the sense objects you're starting to think about. You're going to get caught on the conveyor belt, and you're going to lose your intelligence, and you're going to get, I call it mind glue. It sticks in your mind. You can't get it out. You're undergoing a reaction. So if you withdraw it and make a little prayer, chant Hare Krishna. Imagine every time you had a thought that was Maya, you said Hare Krishna to counteract it. You'd be chanting all day long. So that's more or less what we have to do. You know, we have to fight against this Maya. You know, so where Prabhupada says it, you declared war on her. So you have to learn how to defend yourself. See, puns a lot of times there. So we defend ourselves. just like we were talking earlier that about with a Chinese tower about this. You were memorizing a verse on how rare it is to see someone who takes a devotional service. So I was thinking, what is in this material world? They have something that's. A lot of people play it because they want to win. And the odds are really bad on ever winning. And what's that called? The lottery. So if there are two things happen when you win the lottery. One, you've gone against great odds to do that. And two, your fortune changes. So then you go to Madhya 19.151, Brahmanda Bhumi Te Kona Bhagyavana Jeev. So that means fortunate. By Krishna and Guru Krishna Prasade, you become fortunate. Now, this fortune isn't some paper. This is your eternal fortune. And what is the luck? We just heard one of the offerings yesterday about the coming up through the knot hole in the board that's floating in the ocean. That's the odds of coming in contact with a pure devotee from the explanation on the Brahmanda Bhumite verse, the Bhaktilata Beach verse. So we've won the lottery. So how? Imagine. So sometimes with these books, you're giving them out, you say, these are scratchers. If you scratch the surface of this book, you'll win the lottery. You'll come in contact with a pure devotee, and your fortune is forever changed. So, I mean, depending on your mood of book distribution, somebody may be able to work that in there, that these are scratches for the real lottery, and you just, here's the winning ticket. Oh, I'm giving you the winning ticket. All you have to do is scratch the surface. And then you'll find the great treasure within there. And it doesn't go away. So it's not the bogus lottery. This is the real evolutionary lottery. Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, thank you.
It would be really wonderful if you were to make a nice booklet with all your analogies for preaching, because it's really helpful. Have you considered that?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Well,
we'll be looking for it.
I'm very disorganized, but I started it. It's called Getting to the Heart of the Matter, and it's a perspective looking at it from Krishna's point of view. You know, in love, you're supposed to consider the other person's point of view, isn't it? If you don't consider the other person's point of view, how is it really love? Like, I give an example that I was supposed to be home for dinner at 5 o'clock, and I come in at 11, and I didn't call. So I kind of tiptoe in. There's my wife, and she says, "Did you think of me?" I said, "Oh, sure, honey, I always think of you." And her eyebrows go down, and she says, "You know what I mean. Did you think about what you were doing, how it was going to affect me?" So using that as a theme, we think about Krishna. Oh, Krishna, I always think about you. But do you think about your relationship or what you're doing, how it's going to affect what he's feeling? bring his feelings, because we want to get a feel for Krishna consciousness. We want to consider Krishna's feelings. So generally we're caught when, if she would have said that, then you look at the floor and you just wait for mercy. It's like, no, actually I didn't consider. So this perspective of considering Krishna's feelings, I put everything, all the philosophy, into that perspective of, I call it the heart of the matter, which is a pun, if you can think about it. Does matter have a heart? How about when you get a gift from somebody who loves you? It's matter, but it has another element in it. So everything is Krishna's gift, but we're, even if you're seeing it as matter, so we're learning how to. There's a word, udipan. Anybody know udipan? It means stimulation for your development of your love. So everything that our smarana, our remembrance of Krishna, turns into that. That everything is turns into a reason to remember Krishna in our relationship. So thank you for the encouragement, mate. I'm gonna. You're asking me in front of the deities. Thank you. All glories to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.